Welcome to Commodore Hour. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics. Regions, get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit regions.com/anchor down to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, Kevin Ingram.
Welcome in on a nice Monday night in Nashville. A little chilly for Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll have Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Corbs will join us in just a moment. Also, lacrosse coach Beth Hewitt will be with us. We'll talk about their NCAA tournament coming up later on this week. And then later on, our alumni segment, our Black and Gold Club guest this week, is football alum Reggie Ford. So it should be a fun show as we bring you Commodore Hour on this Monday night. It's brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. We're coming back with Coach Corbin in just a moment. This is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Jack Leiter did not pitch this weekend, and we talked about it on Saturday, just trying to rest and recharge him a bit.
Yes. I mean, I think that more than anything, it's just trying to give him a little bit of rest and give him a little bit of a blow. He's never been in this situation before with a volume of innings. So I think it comes at the right time. Thankfully, we're able to get by without him. And I think this is going to do him some good moving forward.
Saw Carter Young homer three times in the two games, hit a pair of them on Friday night. One was the opposite way to left. How has he been able to get things going again after a little bit of a tough stretch?
Well, he's jumped on some good pitches, and I think a lot of it, too, is trying to get in some good counts, too. Now, he hit the first pitch out in the third inning on Friday, and then after that, you know, he hit two strikes and hit the ball the other way, and certainly on the next game, he pulled a ball in a 2-0 count, so I think he's been getting in pretty good counts, and he hasn't missed a pitch. He's gotten pitches in favorable spots, and he's driven them. And I think that's the one thing about the young man is he's strong. You know, he's been able to show us that he's got some offensive potential, but he's got some offensive strength too. And you look at some of those home runs, the multiple run shots. You know, two-run RBI on Saturday, two-run RBI on Friday, and then he got the solo right after Bradfield hit the three-run shot. So they certainly have been favorable. And all along, you know, we praised Carter about his defense, but I think the hidden piece of him is how well he's performed for us offensively.
Our guest is Coach Tim Corbin. You mentioned the home run by Enrique Bradfield. I mean, he was the story on Friday. 4-for-4, the home run, 5 RBIs and 3 stolen bases. I mean, it felt like we saw the full arsenal out of him in that game, and including some power.
You're right, and the power wasn't, you know, it's not something you expect, nor do you really want that, because that would mean that he's doing things that really don't fit what he's all about. Now, I'm not to say he can't hit a home run. Obviously, he hit one, and he's capable because he's got a flat swing and his bat speed's pretty good. But to your point, I mean, he stole 3 bases. He got on base each time. He scored 2 runs. He created havoc. He just got the pitcher sideways. And I think if you get in the pitcher sideways, you're doing a lot in itself. And everyone understands when he's on base, there's going to be motion. There's going to be movement. And that's not easy to pitch through. So he's done a great job of just getting on base. His series against Florida, he was slowed down a little bit against Louisville. But he just had a very favorable weekend here all weekend, certainly Friday night. And then again, had a pretty good day on Saturday, although he just scored 1 run, had 1 hit. He was certainly in the middle of fun opportunities for our team.
How interesting is it to see how people approach him when he gets on first base, whether it's, you know, throwing over a whole bunch of times or maybe not as much and almost daring him to take off? I mean, what about that and just how he reads all those things?
Well, he does a good job now. I wouldn't say that was the case in the fall of getting extension on his lead. And I think in order to be a good base fielder, you can't be worried about first base. If you're worried about first base and worried about getting picked off, you're not going to be a good base fielder. Being a thief means that you're always moving in one direction, and that direction is to the right. And because he can get back quickly and to the left and do it without fear, it enables him to get good jumps. And he gets good mental jumps. That's the piece, Kevin, that I think he's evolved the most, is his mental jumps at first base and knowing when to go. I mean, he really has become more astute as games gone on. And that's a quick progression now because, as I said, the fall, it was more learning for him. He didn't really want to run, and it's almost like we had to push him. But once we took off the emergency brake, it's been forward ever since that time.
Going back to that Friday game as well, you know, Alabama had the pair of three-run innings against Kamar, and our guys answered right away with four runs in each of those frames of the two sets of back-to-back home runs. That's something you like to see, isn't it, when the team responds after the other team has put something on the board?
Well, it's very deflating to the other team because, you know, you put up three against a very good pitcher after he just struck out seven, and then we say, okay, we're moving in the right direction. Now we're working on one of their best guys, and we come back, and Troy Lanive, who played a part in both games, hit the 2-0 double, and he really started it. Then we moved him over, then Bradfield got the hit, and then we had the big hits with Carter and Keegan. So we scored four, and then same thing, they come back, score three, we score four. So it's deflating. I mean, that's counterpunching, really, and we did it on Saturday too. They scored one in the fifth, we scored two. They scored one in the seventh, we scored one. So I think it's just that ability, one punch deserves another, and if you can do that as a team, it certainly weakens the knees of the opponent.
Was Kamar Rocker's line in that game Friday one of the stranger ones you've seen? I mean, he gives up six runs, but he also has 13 strikeouts and goes five innings and gets his 11th win.
Well, yes. I think when you look at the line and you look at the runs, it doesn't add up, and maybe the walks too. But yeah. Then the 13 strikeouts too. And I think it's just one of those situations that this game is a very fickle game. And, you know, those first two innings, that's about as well pitched of two innings as we've seen at any point, any time in the 19 years.
It was
years.
Amazing. Yep.
Amazing. 14 pitches, 14 strikes, I think, in the first inning. And then after that, you know, Jarvis hits the double on the first pitch, and then we couldn't feel the bunt. We started leaving the zone a little bit, and when that happened, they got themselves in favorable counts, or they jumped him on the first pitch and ambushed him. And then we helped them a little bit by walking a few hitters, and next thing you know, they're firing back at us. So it was a little bit unnerving, but same time, you have to give him a lot of credit. That was a grind for him. But, you know, he left a runner in scoring position in the third, left a runner in scoring position in the fourth, and he left the bases loaded in the fifth. So it wasn't optimal, but you know what? The kid still competes. He still competes and gives you everything you need for his team. He was frustrated, but I have to give him a lot of credit to get through some of those moments.
Visiting with Coach Tim Corbin here on Commodore Hour. We'll have more in just a moment. And this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back. This is Commodore Hour as we continue our visit with Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin. The Commodores beat Alabama twice over the weekend, 9-6 on Friday and then 6-2 on Saturday to take the series. The game yesterday got rained out. You mentioned Troy Lanive in that first segment. He had two really nice games, a couple hits Friday, hit the home run Saturday. How much do you have to appreciate his patience and just making the most of it when he got a chance with Isaiah out for a couple games here?
Well, I appreciate his patience a great deal because there's been times where Troy hasn't traveled during the course of the weekend. There's been times where I've spoken to him about the potential of playing and he hasn't. So it's kind of like a pump fake a little bit because mentally you're thinking you're going in and then you're not. I just feel like learning a team role is such a valuable skill as a player, even before you learn how to play inside of a role. And I think he's done it so well. He's done it with professionalism. And there's always, you know, I've been in on that side of things. So I understand what it feels like and what it looks like, too. But I think the most gratifying thing is when a kid has the ability to insert himself at some point in time and play well for his team. And that's what he did. And you could tell there was a great sense of emotion when he got his hits by the bench. You could feel it because they know he's been patient. So those are the things that kids get when they are and they understand how to serve in a team role.
And on the other side of it, Cooper Davis, you know, a guy who's played a lot of baseball, we saw him return and look good this weekend. No Jack Bulger, no Jason Gonzalez against Alabama. You know, in a long season, how much can a little rest help these guys?
Well, it does. It helps. And if you've got the ability to do it, it can really benefit your team a great deal down the stretch. And we're just in a position where we had a couple of guys that could play for them. Cooper inserted himself back for in the outfield because of just the matchup that existed this past weekend. And then Leneve stepped in for Isaiah because of matchup and because of injury. And it just favored us well. And then Spencer Jones, who's starting to come on a little bit, it helps our team. It's one of those things where, I don't know, Kev, I guess it was October, November, when you start talking about the dynamic of your team, I said the most important thing for this team to understand right now, if we're going to have a chance to succeed, is to understand how to share the ball. And if you don't understand how to share, then we're not going anywhere, because sharing means that there's a conscious effort to understand that you're not going to get always what you want or what you need. But because you're giving up what you want or what you need, the team very well may get what they need in order to succeed. So I think that's something that we spend a lot of time talking about. Sometimes it doesn't always find itself to the group, but I think this group has done a very good job of being able to live that notion, and it's really helped us.
You know, and speaking of Spencer Jones too, I mean, he's really starting to look good at the plate, swinging the bat. He's such a tall guy. You expect him to hit these high looping home runs, but really he's more of a line drive hitter, isn't he? One of the hardest hit balls was, I thought, the one that I think Reeves made that catch in left field back on Saturday.
He is more of a line drive hitter, but I think his power is going to come. And I say power, I don't mean that just by home runs. I'm talking about balls that will go against the fence and down each line. The strength to me of Spencer's got fast hands, and he's willing to let the ball get deep and hit the ball the other way, which is really going to help him out. So I think you're looking at a guy that's going to continue to grow. We have not seen Spencer Jones yet. You've seen him, but you haven't. Yeah. This kid is going to take off. There's no doubt in my mind at some point in time, because he's going to get stronger, and he's a very good baseball player. And we saw that before he attended here, saw bits and pieces of it in the fall. And unfortunately, what bit him was just injuries, and he's had to deal with that. But he's been a good soldier in trying to come back, and he's certainly starting to look a whole lot more fit.
C.J. Rodriguez, I thought, had a couple nice games. Had the hits, but also he blocked a lot of pitches in the dirt. As a coach, is there a balance when you have a good catcher? I mean, you want him out there as much as possible, but, man, those guys take just such a beating at that position.
Yeah, and maybe more so at the amateur level, just because, you know, the professional pitcher doesn't bounce as many breaking balls. They do, but they don't. You know, the bounce takes place a little bit deeper in the zone, so it doesn't. The catcher doesn't necessarily have to absorb as many balls as maybe what the amateur catcher does. So, yeah, I mean, he's very good catcher. He's very good receiver. He's got great disposition. He's tough. You know, you call it what it is. I mean, he doesn't come out of the game. He gets dinged up. There's a reason why those guys are such a commodity. Guys who really have soft hands can catch the ball and can absorb the baseball. You know, ball bounces off of them. It stays in a particular area where runners can't advance. And if you don't have that, you're going to see a lot of advancements that show up in the scorebook at the end of the game, particularly on the scoreboard. So he's very good. He's very good at what he does, and he's got a great disposition about him too.
On the injury front, Sam Loboke will have Tommy John surgery. It's a long recovery, but, you know, Tim, the good news is the guys often come back better than ever, and I know you hope that'll be the case with Sam.
It will be with Sam, and it will be from Mikey Doolin. I mean, those kids are good workers. They're good pitchers. That's not going to leave them. it's just going to slow down their clock. But you know what? I think if we could all pause at some point in time and just stay where we are because we enjoy it, we would do it. And sometimes injuries do that to us. They just make us slow down and not do something so fast. So I think both for Mikey and Sam, that's going to be the case. Now, Mikey will get back next year. Sam, not probably later in the year. But, you know, now that the surgery's in May, usually 12 months beyond that. So he's got some time before he comes back again. But both quality guys, too, and it'll be good to get him back on the hill again.
This week we'll see North Alabama tomorrow night, and then we'll play at Ole Miss this weekend. North Alabama, they're having a tough season. Do you have any history with Mike Keene, who's been there with that program for over 30 years?
No, I don't. I don't at all, and I don't know Mike, but I know Anthony DiCicco. Anthony's a New England guy, and he coached at Army, and he's worked our camps before, and he's the associate head coach or assistant head coach and coaches the pitchers. So he'll certainly do a good job with their pitchers. But no, not much experience with North Alabama. They made the transition to Division I, so going over the scouting report today and looking through video and so on and getting more familiarized with their players. So, another tough game for us.
Then Ole Miss Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if what I've seen on TV is any indication, that might be the most cranked up atmosphere we've seen all season.
Yeah, I would say that probably is the case. Just watching balls escape right field and watching what the outcome of that looks like after. There's a lot of that being thrown up in the air. So, I'm sure there will. Their students can't go home fast enough. I think they'll all be there this weekend. But that's always a fun place to play, though. Those are good fans, and that's a great baseball atmosphere, and certainly a tremendous respect for Mike. Mike has been in the league. We've both been in the league with Dave Van Horn, the three coaches who have been in the league the longest. So it's been fun to compete against them.
One more. I have to ask you about the national anthem singer on the Friday and Saturday games. Keisha Rainey was just fantastic. I mean, just so much energy. I thought she brought to start the game.
She's amazing. I told her after the second time. I said, How did we get you? How did we score you for two dates? She's incredible. The energy in her voice. I told her she could play shortstop for us. I had her out there before Carter. She was great. You know, I just loved how much energy she had. Hopefully we'll get her back here when we come back for the weekend against Kentucky when we fill the seats up. So I'm looking forward to that time.
Me too. Tim, thanks so much for the time, and good luck this week. Always appreciate it.
All right, brother. Thank you a lot.
All right. Coach Tim Corbin joining us here on Commodore Hour, and again, it will be tomorrow night at 6:30 at home for North Alabama, and then this weekend at Ole Miss, Friday at 6 o'clock, Saturday at 4, and Sunday at 2, and we'll have all the game broadcast for you, of course. When we come back, lacrosse coach Beth Hewitt's going to join us in her third season and has her team in the NCAA tournament. Got an at-large bid, and we'll open up with Jacksonville down in Gainesville on Friday. So we'll talk to Beth coming up in just a moment. Reminder, Gupton Jeep is your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters. Been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. Always appreciate having Gupton Jeep on board with us on Monday night. This is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Commodore Hour. So good to have you with us on this Monday evening from the Music City. The Vanderbilt women's lacrosse team will play in the NCAA tournament later this week on Friday in Gainesville against Jacksonville. They got an at-large bid, so congratulations making their seventh NCAA tournament appearance. The others all between 2002 and 2010. Both wins coming back in 2004, but the 12-6 record for the lacrosse squad ties the Vanderbilt record for second most wins in program history. 13 is the record back in 2008, so got a great chance to make that happen. With that, we bring in lacrosse coach Beth Hewitt in her third year and taking her team to the tournament. Beth, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Congratulations, first of all. And how satisfying was it to see your name in the bracket and for the players to enjoy that moment?
Oh, it was amazing. Obviously, a lot of stress for that day and a half or so as we waited. And, you know, this year in kind of a COVID year, knowing that the eyeball test was a part of it and not the normal criteria. It was pretty stressful, but man, seeing that name go up, I mean, the room erupted.
You know, the first time in more than a decade to be in the tournament. Do you find yourself reflecting on all the hard work that it took to get to this point?
Yeah, I think we've, you know, now that we've gotten ourselves through finals and you know, a little bit of a chance to kind of just come together and really focus on the sport and being together, I think it's really important that they take all of the moments in. You know, I mean, when you've waited this long to get back to the tournament and you know that it's just so hard to get in at this point, that we really have to appreciate where we are. And especially, again, in a year like this, we have to be really thankful. And I think, you know, everybody's just trying to enjoy each day that we get together. And that's kind of been our mentality this postseason now, is kind of just taking it one day at a time and appreciating each day that we have together.
Have you had to take that approach really with this whole season, you know, with COVID and just everything always so uncertain, it seems like, for so much of the year?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, it literally each day you got felt like a blessing, because you'd walk in on a Monday and you know, you go into testing and you don't know what comes out of it, right? And I think, you know, each day we would get to practice, we would talk about that. We do a lot of mindfulness and would always try to remember that, like, we're here, we're all together, we're all safe. And you know, I think the girls did an incredible job of not having, you know, any hiccups when it came to COVID. We didn't have any major pauses. We weren't, you know, and truly our opponents too. I mean, we played every game that was on our schedule, and it's something that our coaching staff is really proud of.
We were just in Gainesville for baseball. This will be your third trip in less than a month, right? You probably know your way around campus at this point.
Oh, I was joking with the Florida coach that she goes, well, at this point, I mean, I think you guys have played as many games down here as you played at home, so I guess I would just look at it as your home field.
It does look like a nice place, though. I think it was right there next to the baseball stadium.
It is. The facilities are beautiful. You know, the people down there are great. And, you know, being the only other SEC school, we get along with them really well. And, you know, again, you could have sent us wherever in the country and we would have been happy to be there. But to be at a place that we're pretty familiar with, you know, when it comes to hotels and where you're staying and going through your routine, we're pretty excited to be down there.
Going back to the game against Temple on Thursday, Cassidy Orban scored 5 goals. How is she so efficient in making the most of her shots?
She's just an incredible athlete. I mean, we kind of joke she has this super speed, so she works hard all the time. And she's going to go after a ball out of the cage hard, and then it's like this like extra gear that she puts it in at times, and she just like super speeds it by anybody that tries to play defense on her. And just certain nights, it just seems like it's even in more of a higher level. And she's just so locked and loaded right now and ready to compete that it's just been really fun to watch her.
Vanderbilt lacrosse coach Beth Hewitt is our guest. Her team headed to the NCAA tournament later this week. How has Gabby Fornia been so consistent, just game after game, setting up others and racking up 53 assists?
Yeah, she's just so unselfish, you know, and I think it's funny because everybody wants to target her, and it's really hard when the top player on the team is a feeder, right? She's not trying to do it for herself. She's just trying to set up around her, and I think she's somebody that works really hard to try and make adjustments depending on what the defenses are doing to her, and she's got a great line of communication with the coaching staff, and just she works really hard to be an elite player. And I mean, man, she sees openings that you wouldn't find watching film, let alone in the moment. And it's just pretty incredible to watch.
You have 7 players with over 20 goals in the season, 3 players with 40 or more points, including Bree Grossa and Maddie Souza. Has their scoring and balance been what you might have expected from them going into this year?
It's always a goal of ours. We really feel like it's important to play as many players as we can, get some of the younger ones in there as well, kind of intermixed with the veterans. And I think, you know, we know they all have the capability to do it. And I think this year, specifically, again, not knowing who would be ready to play or available to play on any given day, I think, you know, we know everyone has the ability to do it, but I think these guys just kind of separated themselves this year. And specifically Maddie and Bree, both California kids, I think really took COVID as a time to improve their game, worked really, really hard individually. And then this year, I think where they grew as players is just trying to make people around them better. And in turn, I think it's really elevated their game.
you had that stretch in the season with a 9-game win streak. What have you liked about the way this team has just played throughout most of the season in conference play, just come out ready to go game after game?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we kind of went through a little bit of a gauntlet where it wasn't coming easy to us. You know, we really had to work. We went down in some games pretty significantly, but we'd get in these timeouts and these huddles, and there was no fear, there was no quit, and there was no doubt. And I think that's some of the stuff as coaches we can't teach in them, and really you can't create in a group or, you know, just make happen. And I think they just have a lot of belief in themselves and in what we're doing together and what they've overcome in this past year. And, you know, I think that some of the teams we played last year were a lot of, you know, top 10 teams. And so being in that moment where you're down, it's like, okay, we've already been here. We know what to do, and we got to come together and just get things on track. And I think, you know, our conference is pretty competitive, and obviously, you know, Temple's a great team. Florida's a great team. They're both in the tournament, and, you know, playing both of those guys two games in a weekend, I just think, you know, gets us ready for hopefully this game with Jacksonville.
We talked about this some, I think, the last time you were on the show, Beth. How much can your program success help interest in lacrosse in this area?
I think it's really important. It's, you know, again, the social media world right now, obviously we've gotten a lot of love from last night's show, and just having people in the area recognize that, you know, lacrosse is here and it's a really awesome sport and one that I think is really very popular now with the young ladies. And I think, you know, just trying to get some of the young women in this area playing it and, you know, recognizing like, hey man, they're going to the tournament and, you know, look at the recognition they're getting. And, you know, not that it's about that, but I just think getting the word of lacrosse to spread in Nashville is so important to us, and really just trying to grow it in any way we can. So, you know, for us, that's just kind of a really exciting part of this whole opportunity as well.
One of the things I found interesting, especially in recent years, is talking to coaches about how they use technology to their advantage, even, you know, talking about bowling with John Williamson or, you know, Coach Ambrose with soccer and all the others. How have you made the most of technology or seen it, you know, change the sport in the way you maybe scout teams or the way you know, track how much your players are running and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, there are so many tools now, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, we share a facility with soccer, and we have a system called Spidio that, you know, typically if we want to film practice, we've got to get someone there, you know, out, you know, whether it's the film crew or, you know, another student athlete or a coach, you know, whoever it would be. And that's taking that person off the field. And with soccer in our program, we share this system that we really can, it basically films the practice for us. And we're able to go back and kind of cut little pieces of it, send the girls, you know, kind of track what they're doing on the field. And I mean, that's just stuff that you always had game film, but to be able to have the practice film day in and day out, I think makes a really big difference for the adjustments and improvements of the individual players.
And Beth, to finish up, you know, you went to North Carolina, you helped start a program out at Oregon, had a great run at Lemoyne when you were there. How did those previous stops help you learn what you wanted this program to be? And now finally, you know, having that success.
Well, I think it's just getting a little experience at all different levels. It was obviously playing at UNC. You know, I played the top competition day in and day out and was fortunate enough to go to some Final Fours. And, you know, then you go to Oregon and it's like starting everything from the beginning, from the grassroots. And, you know, kind of knowing how you want to build a program and what you want it to be. And then getting to Lemoyne and somewhat doing the same thing because we switched from Division I to Division II. And I think I just took a little bit of each program that I was involved in and learned a lot from the people I worked with. I feel very fortunate for everyone I've worked with to just learn a little bit, you know, each day and decide what would work for me and really be authentic to who I am and who we are as a program and a university. And I just think right now, you know, there's a lot to love about Vanderbilt and Nashville and lacrosse in general, like in combining those, I just think it's a really great opportunity here.
Well, Beth, super excited for you and your program. Congratulations on the tournament bid and looking forward to seeing you guys go to Gainesville and do some damage down there. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
That's Vanderbilt lacrosse coach Beth Hewitt in her third season. Her team will play in the NCAA tournament on Friday down in Gainesville, and they will open up against Jacksonville and maybe another matchup with the Gators coming up after that. But exciting, the first time in more than a decade to be in the NCAA tournament as they got the at-large bid. They have been there, as I mentioned, a few times before. This will be the seventh appearance. Others came between 2002 and 2010. Vanderbilt, both their tournament wins came back in 2004, and have a chance to tie the program record with one more win, having gone 12-6 on the season. When we come back, we always enjoy visiting with a Vanderbilt alum during our closing segment here of our interview part of the show every week. And we're going to have Reggie Ford with us, a 2014 Vanderbilt football alum for our Black and Gold Club segment. Really interesting guy, a defensive back for the Commodores, got his MBA, or an MBA alum, and earned a master's in accounting from the Owen School, and got an economics degree as well, and founded his own company. So he's going to be a lot of fun to speak with. We'll have Reggie coming up next as we continue with Commodore Hour. This is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Great to have you with us on this Monday evening for Commodore Hour. Kevin Ingram here in the Music City, and we mentioned earlier with Tim Corbin, we'll have baseball for you coming up tomorrow night, 6:30 for Vanderbilt and North Alabama. Pregame starts at 6:15 over at Hawkins Field. Coming up in a moment, hope to have Reggie Ford with us, a 2014 Vanderbilt football alum for our Black and Gold Club segment. Played defensive back in these days as founder and president of Rose Creek Wealth Management. So we'll speak to him about his career and his time playing football at Vanderbilt as well as Reggie joins us now. What's going on this evening?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. You got an economics degree back in 2013, got your master's in accounting from the Owen School in 2014. The founder and president of Rose Creek Wealth Management. What's been most satisfying about getting that company off the ground?
I think the ability to really offer the services that I do to the clientele that I offer it to has been the most rewarding thing. I've been in wealth management for several years, and now able to just do what I always had a passion to do has been amazing.
Has the COVID year made things challenging for you in your business?
Absolutely. Well, it's been good and bad, actually. So I haven't been able to travel, and a lot of my work depends on going to meet clients and seeing them in different states and different cities. But in the same sense, in the same breath, it has made people focus on their finances. And so I work with a lot of young professionals, and they've been much more into what they need to do financially. And so they've been calling a lot. So it's been good and bad.
How cool has it been to be recognized for your work here in Nashville, as well as nationally, being nominated, I know, for the Forbes 30 Under 30 and also recognized by Finance Magazine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it means the world because, you know, through school, economics degree and master's in accounting, everything I've been doing is for to be recognized as a great in those fields. And it's surreal sometimes to think that, you know, Forbes is calling at one point.
I spoke to a gentleman from the Owen School back on Saturday during our baseball game broadcast. What makes that program so special? I know, you know, kind of you get that really personal attention with the smaller class sizes and those sorts of things. But, you know, what's so good about that program that helped you so much?
Yeah, one, Owen is a great community, just from the professors to the students and everybody. So it's an extremely amazing community. But the MAC program in particular, the process and the structure of it and how it develops, you know, it can turn a English major into an accountant in 12 months and a CPA accountant at that. And, yeah. You know, there's something special about that with, you know, the high pass rates and the high one, just building bonds and people that you're going to know and love for the rest of your lives. It's a special, special, intimate place. And I couldn't recommend it more.
What'd you take away from your time playing football at Vanderbilt?
I think perseverance, you know, getting through the tough, I mean, especially playing at Vandy sometimes, you know, the toughest environments, the toughest games, and knowing that on the other side, if you work hard, if you bust your butt, then the reward is there. And so making sure that you keep that in mind, just, you know, never give up and persevere through it all.
You recently released a book called PTSD, Perseverance Through Severe Dysfunction. Does the subject matter of that hit close to home, just given everything we've seen in the past year?
Absolutely. From
from the, I mean, mental health has been a growing concern, and raising awareness to how it's growing. It's PTSD, I overcome PTSD. And so the book talks about, you know, the things, the traumatic things that led to my PTSD, as well as how I've been able to live and persevere through those. But also on the other hand, looking at social justice issues and race reconciliation, and how that also plays a factor in mental health and everything else. So it definitely hits close to home.
What was the process like just to write it and get published? How long did it take?
It's been, you know, I would say the minimum 2 years. It's been a journey of, you know, writing it took probably a year of just sitting down and really writing it, but then editing and talking to just different advisors, agents, publishers, publicists. It's been a journey and a learning experience, but well worth it.
Thoughts on your fellow NBA and Vanderbilt alum Clark Lee now getting started as head coach of that program?
Oh my God. Super excited. When I heard the news, I hadn't met Clark Lee before, but I have since, and hearing everything that I've heard from everyone, seeing that he hired one of my brothers, Barton Simmons, it was just an exciting experience, and I couldn't be prouder for him. Roll red all day long.
Barton knows a lot of stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. We could fill a bunch of books with what Barton knows.
How interesting, you know, as a guy, you know, you work around numbers and those things in doing your wealth management work. How interesting has it been to see how, you know, analytics and the advanced stats and everything have become a part of football?
It's been so interesting because, you know, when Moneyball came out, that was one of the things where it first showed us how that could be implemented in sports. And seeing it now, you know, I got a bunch of friends who are scouts and things like that. And the things that they look at in terms of finding who's the best player for their staff is amazing. And it blows my mind just because, you know, tendencies. That's, you know, coaches talk about tendencies. They talk about statistics, and it you can really see it on the field. So it's been amazing to see that.
Now, I know you're also a sprinter in high school, right? Did you see DK Metcalf run their 100 this weekend?
I did, and man, like, you could have put fire flames behind. Yeah.
But, you know, for a dude that big to just be that competitive in that race, to me, it was just remarkable to watch.
It is, and it makes me, because I'm about, you know, all the 5'8", 5'9", 170 pounds, and I'm jealous, you know. To have that stature and be able to run like that is just—it's unreal.
But, you know, sprinter speed and football speed are really two different things, aren't they? Especially when you talk about, you know, running in those races versus, you know, playing football and the things you have to do to be successful there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you get some of the fastest sprinters in the world that can't run routes because they can't break down and you know, stop on a dime and things like that. So it's two different things, and you see some of the fastest guys on the football field, and sometimes it translates, sometimes it
Reggie, as we finish up, how much do you enjoy just staying connected with your teammates from your time playing football at Vanderbilt?
You know, the off-the-field stuff was what really made sports, you know, through high school, through college. That was the real important stuff. And so, you know, I still talk to many of my guys from my time playing, and it means the world. You know, I got brothers for life, and that's something that you just can't take back.
If folks you know, wanted to be a part of your wealth management group, give us the website or some information how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can visit rosecrete.com. That's rose like the flower, crete like concrete, crete, rosecrete.com. And then if you want to check out my book, Perseverance Through Severe Dysfunction, ReggieD4.com. So just my name, ReggieD4.com.
Well, super happy for you. Best of luck with the book and with your business. Sounds like you have everything up and running. Really proud for you, and thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Anytime. It's Reggie Ford, 2014 Vanderbilt football alum, and as he mentioned, is president and founder of Rosecrete Wealth Management. Has a book out called PTSD, Perseverance Through Severe Dysfunction. We'll come back and wrap things up in a moment. This is Commodore Hour, and this is the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. It's been great to have you with us for Commodore Hour on this Monday night. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Steve Goldberg, doing a great job as always, and to our guests, Tim Corbin, Beth Hewitt, and Reggie Ford, who we heard from in the last segment. A few things going on. Women's golf, the Vanderbilt Commodores are playing up in Columbus in the NCAA Regional. They got started this morning. They were the number 6 seed and tied for 9th out of 18 teams. At 9 over par, Oklahoma leading the way at -2 so far. Louise Yu and Selena Saddlecow, both even par at 72. Selena Saddlecow, both those players shot 72 today. They were the highest ranking among the women's players so far up at the NCAA Regional, and they'll get back at it tomorrow. Men's golf won the SEC Championship, and they will play in the NCAA Regional starting next week on May 17th at the Golf Club of Tennessee in Kingston Springs. So best of luck to the golf teams. Women's tennis finished up the season at 14-10 with a 4-3 loss to 15th-seeded Ohio State up in Columbus. It's been a popular stop. Beat Ball State 4-0 in the first round back on Friday, but lost to Ohio State back over the weekend. But congratulations on the NCAA tournament run for the Vanderbilt women's tennis team. And on the PGA Tour, Luke List tied for 6th Vanderbilt alum in the Wells Fargo Championship over the weekend. Finished at 5-under par, made $273,000. That's a good weekend. Finished 5 strokes back of Rory McIlroy, who won for the first time in a long time. He finished at -10. Congratulations as well to Brant Snedeker, host of the Korn Ferry Tour event in College Grove, the Simmons Bank Open, to benefit the Snedeker Foundation. It was won by Austin Smotherman, so great work by Brant, as always, with that event. Major League Baseball highlights from Sunday from Vanderbilt alums Dansby Swanson last night as the Braves beat the Phillies 6-1, was 2-for-3 with a home run and a couple runs knocked in. So Mike Yastrzemski go 2-for-4 for the Giants. They lost to San Diego yesterday 11-1. Mike Minor, 5 innings, 5 earned runs, couple walks, 7 strikeouts in a Kansas City loss to the White Sox. It's actually his second time around with the Royals. He had a great year back in 2017 in relief. So a little bit of highlights from the Vandy boys in the big leagues. There are a whole bunch of them. Saban Lee, 32 minutes and a 108-96 loss to the Chicago Bulls yesterday, playing for the Detroit Pistons, 13 points and 7 assists. Aaron Nesmith continues to play well for Boston, 16 points in 19 minutes. They lost to Miami. He hit 2 out of 4 from 3 and made all 4 of his free throws. Damian Jones, 11 points and 6 boards, 4 blocks, hit a 3-pointer in 21 minutes as the Kings beat Oklahoma City 126-98. That'll do it for this edition of Commodore Hour. We'll talk to you next week. And don't forget baseball coming up tomorrow night, 6:30 for the Commodores and North Alabama's. Kevin Ingram saying goodnight from Nashville, the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics. Regions, get the Vanderbilt University Visa check card from Regions. Visit regions.com/anchor down to order yours today. And by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.